Good morning. Welcome everyone to worship this morning here at Kemnay Kirk, to all who are here in person, all who are watching live online, especially our friends who are worshiping with us at Littlewood Court this morning, and to all who are watching in our catch-up service during the week to come. We're so glad to join in worship with everyone here. Have a few intimations at the start of our time together. First of all, a reminder about Microsoft, an intimation about Microsoft Teams and training videos for the use of Microsoft Teams for those who work on our committees and working groups and Kirk Session, that these training videos for the usage of Teams are now available for viewing. And you can find these in the Team app itself. And there's more information listed in the intimation, but if you need help or guidance with the use of Office 365 and Teams, if this pertains to you, and if you're having troubles, look up those videos if you can, or if not, please speak with Jim Buchan. He's away on holiday at the moment, but he'll be back, I think, a week from tomorrow if anyone needs assistance with getting Teams up and running. As we know, for the months of summer, we have held Howe Trinity Parish Church, their congregation, and their minister, our friend Reverend Dr. John Cook, in our prayers as our focus congregation for the summer. And today is the day when they had asked/invited folks from across Presbytery to come and worship with them in Howe Trinity. And we have a few folk from our church today who are in effort, and we give them our thanks for joining our friends in effort for worship. And also Heather is there as well in her capacity as mission and discipleship development worker for Presbytery. And so we hold them today, as ever, in our prayers, that they would continue in their walks of discipleship and draw closer to each other and through Jesus Christ by living out their faith in effort. We also have three other intimations that we can like to focus on today. We have slides for these. Irene, if you don't mind, thank you very much. The first one's for the jumble sale, which will take place on the 31st of August at 12:30 p.m. in Kemnay Church Hall. You can see there that all donations are greatly appreciated, closed for all ages and whatnot. And so please be mindful of that event coming up this next Saturday, the 31st of August, and contact Annie at the number listed on the intimation for more information. A reminder as well that we see up here that there's a survey that we're circulating about our Kemnay Kirk news, and everyone's feedback for this is warmly appreciated. There's a paper copy of the survey inside the magazine, or we can go online to kemnayparish.church. And when you go to the church webpage, it's one of the first links you see for the Kirk News survey. So please take a few moments to fill it out. I filled it out last week, and it took all of 2 minutes. So it's not a significant time commitment. So please do make your opinions and your voice heard for feedback about how we present our Kirk News. Next, please, Irene. And as well, focus intimation about the need for further volunteers at Loaves and Fishes, that we are in need of a dishwasher, and then a coffee shop assistant. The dishwasher and the coffee shop assistant have particular times listed, and the kitchen assistant as well. Next slide, please. As well as the cleanup team, bakers, holiday relief staff, and catering staff. So we have quite a few different needs at Loaves and Fishes at the moment, and it's a wonderful chance to work with a very friendly team in a beautiful setting. I think it's the best view of Benihee in all of Kemnay, but I'm horribly biased, but for good reason. And training and an apron, of course, will be provided. And if you're curious to learn more, if you know someone in the village or in the surrounding community, it doesn't have to be someone from Kemnay, who would be interested in this, please speak with them and also speak with Suzanne at the number listed or at the email listed to make your interest known. And your support for Loaves and Fishes is, of course, greatly appreciated. Are there any other intimations to share with our church family? Yes, Noel.
Could you just remind that the morning group starts on Tuesday?
Yes.
And any lady or gentleman is welcome to come and join us.
Okay. So the good morning group resumes on Tuesday at what time, Noel? 10:15 in the morning, downstairs in the church center, and all are warmly welcome to come along and join for that. And I understand, are you focusing on, is it passages from Ephesians?
The focus is grace.
Grace.
And during this term, we're looking at hearing the word of God in your own language.
Hearing the word of God in your own language. Very good. So that's Tuesday mornings at 10:15 for the Good Morning Group. All are most welcome to come along. And I commend the rest of the intimations as in the print for our information as well. So with those shared then, let us enter into worship by singing our first hymn of praise, which is, "How lovely is thy dwelling place." And during the singing of this hymn, our offering for God's continued work of building his kingdom here in Kemnay and beyond will be uplifted.
Let us pray together. Lord, you are great and worthy of all our praise. We cannot fathom your greatness. One generation commends your works to another, telling us of your mighty deeds, and on these we meditate. We hear and see you at work around us, in our environment, the place we live, our relationships with others. We experience your care, your compassion, and concern through others' deeds to us and ours to others. Father, show us how to value our world before it's too late. We ask your way forward to protect our planet and in the pursuit of fair shares of all who live on it. We give thanks for the changes we see already in our approach to climate change and rubbish disposal. We give thanks for family and friends near and far for their help and support whenever we need it, and for their being there as friends. We give thanks for roofs over our head and water when we turn on the tap. Father, forgive us, we so often take these things, as well as those around us, family and friends, for granted. Help us to be more aware of our surroundings, God-given as are those who walk along beside us. Forgive us and free us from our inability to see and experience you in everyday things and people, and to never take them for granted. Lord, you are gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, rich in love, and in all this we can receive through your Son, our Saviour Jesus, who gave up his life for us and who lives with us and in us. Hallelujah, what a Saviour. And let us join together in the prayer that our Father taught, our Saviour Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Continue in worship by singing our next hymn together. Sing, all creation, sing to God in gladness. Any children who'd like to come down and sit with me on the steps for our children's time? Welcome to come on down. Heidi, Amelie, Annabelle, Lewis, you want to come down? We, Joshua? Yeah. Oh, that's quite a smart uniform you have on there, Lewis. You going to play football after this?
Yes.
Yes, you are. Oh, good. I'll try and preach a shorter sermon, okay, so you can get out of here sooner. No. How are you all doing today? You okay?
Yeah.
Yes? So you're back. Some of you are back to school, is that right?
Yeah.
How was your first week of school? Did it go okay?
Yeah.
Yes? Did you meet, very agreeable folk this morning, did you meet lots of new people last week, or mostly people you knew already? mostly new them, right? Do you have new teachers this year or the same teachers?
New
teachers, right? Do you like your teachers okay? Is it going okay in class so far? Good, glad to hear it. So I have a question though. Who are some people that you see or you talk to every single day? Who are some people you talk to every single day? Who are some people? Any ideas?
Parents.
Parents, that's right, your moms and your daddies. What not? Anybody else you talk to, you see all the time? You see your friends at school as well, right? You see your teachers, whatnot. You see your coaches for sporting teams. You see them pretty often as well.
Yeah.
Yep, all these wonderful people. And so there's so many people that we see every single day. And all these people are here to help us and to help us be better people and to be kind and whatnot. So all these people, your moms, your dads, your teachers, your coaches and whatnot, they're all here to help us. And what do we say to people who try to help us be better people? What's a nice thing to say to them? What should you say to your teachers when they work so hard, to your moms and your dads when they work so hard to help you get ready in the morning, to help you succeed in school? What should you say? That's right. You just say thank you. It's wonderful to be nice to people, isn't it? Is it better to be nice or to be mean to people?
Nice.
That's right. Ooh, well done, parents, indeed. So, it's better to be nice, and it's amazing how, if we're nice to people, how that can make other people's days that much better. That's very sweet. Can't plan this stuff. That's very, very kind. But it's amazing how even just saying something nice like thank you or please can make someone else's day that much better. And you know, in the Bible, Jesus calls each of us. He says, you are a light in the world. Now, have you ever seen a flashlight or a torch before?
Yes.
Right? I have one here on this fancy newfangled device here. So there's, see that? Is that light on? Can you see that flashlight? If this church were pitch black, do you think this light would give off a lot of light to lighten up this area around us? Right now we don't need it because the lights are on, but if it were dark in here, it would help us see, wouldn't it? And Jesus says that each of us is just like one of those lights, that we can brighten up the world around us by being kind and good people. And it's amazing how even one small act of kindness can make someone else's day better, okay? So as you go forward into this week, look for ways to be kind to other people, to say your pleases, to say your thank yous. Tell your teachers, tell your moms and dads and your coaches and your friends how much you appreciate them and how great they are. And I guarantee you, it'll make you feel better. It'll make them feel better as well. Okay? Let's have a word of prayer together. Let's pray. Repeat after me.
Dear Jesus,
thank you for loving us.
Help us to listen to you.
Help us to trust you.
Help us to obey you.
Help us to be kind.
Help us to be nice.
Help us to be loving.
We love you so much.
We pray in your name.
Amen.
We continue to worship God now with our next hymn. We sing, "To God Be the Glory."
Oh, first reading today is from Psalm 150, the last psalm. And it can be found on page 634 in the Church Bibles. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dancing. Praise him with strings and flute. Praise him with a clash of cymbals. Praise him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And our second reading is from Matthew chapter 5, reading from verse 13. Salt and light. And it's going to be found on page 969 in the Church Bibles. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. God will bless the reading of his word.
Thank you, Adam. Continue in worship with our next hymn, singing together, Praise Ye the Lord. We are gathered here to worship you, to know you better, and to praise the glory of your name. As we pause now to reflect on your word together, we pray that your Holy Spirit would help us to truly understand this morning what you would have each of us know. use this time to conform each of us ever more closely to the likeness of Jesus Christ. And may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Lord, you are the strength and the redemption of all who place their trust in you. Amen. So this week, we are finishing our summer series on the spiritual discipline of prayer. The summer series ends today, but Lord willing, summer itself will not. We'll see. But over the course of this summer, we've tried to approach this foundational discipline of prayer from a variety of different angles. You've heard from me, you've heard from David and from Fiona Lister as well. And together, we've tried to touch on how prayer impacts our life with God, our life with others, and the life we lead ourselves. And now finally, we've arrived at the final week of this series on prayer. It's the final week, but let's be clear about one thing. Just because it's the final sermon does not mean there's not more to learn about prayer. There's always, always, always more to learn about the practice and pursuit of prayer. It's a lifelong journey. When it comes to our life with God, we can always go further up and further in. So in this final sermon of the summer series, we're concluding this series with what I think is perhaps the most fundamental reason to pray. And the most fundamental reason is to praise God. To praise God. Now, this might strike us like a blatantly obvious answer, and in some ways, I have to admit that it might be blatantly obvious. But I think it's also possible for us to know the right answer to this kind of question. The answer, why do we pray, is to praise God. We might know the answer, but still not understand what that answer really, truly, fully means for us as followers of Jesus Christ. It's kind of like looking at a math problem, knowing the answer. When I was a kid, I loved doing math problems. I would find the answer, but guess what I didn't do? I didn't show my work, right? So with math, you have to show how you got somewhere. You have to understand the whole process. And I think it's similar in our life with God, that we might know the right answers to give, but we have to know the hows and the whys of where we get with God. Why do we praise God? What does it mean to praise God? I recently heard a story about a preacher who was trying to sell a horse that he owned. One day, after he circulated the advertisement, a potential buyer came to the preacher's home, to his manse, to inquire about buying the horse. But before he bought it, he wanted to take the horse for a ride. Fair enough, right? So the preacher said to him, "Before you start, sir, you should know that this horse only responds to very specific commands. He only responds to what we call church talk. So to make the horse go, you have to say, 'Praise the Lord,' and to stop, you have to say, 'Amen.'" The man nodded and said he understood. The man got on the horse, got comfortable, situated in the saddle, and then he said, "Praise the Lord." And lo and behold, the horse started off at a nice, brisk trot. The man was very pleased and very impressed. Then the man again said, "Praise the Lord," and the horse started to gallop. Brum, 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 on it goes. Amazing! And suddenly there was a cliff right in front of the horse and the man, and he screamed, "Amen!" And the horse stopped just before the edge of the cliff. With his heart racing and brow sweating, the man took a deep breath, smiled, and said, "Oh, praise the Lord." I like that one. The moral of that story is we might know the words to say, but do we really understand fully what they mean? The good news for us is that even if or when we lose sight of some part of what it means to follow Jesus, we have the God-given gift of Holy Scripture and the Holy Spirit which speaks through the words of Scripture and can help us find our way again on the path of discipleship. So with that in mind, let's consider our first reading this morning, which Adam so kindly read for us. Psalm 150, page 634, and as ever, I invite us to follow along in the text. Page 634, Psalm 150. I'll read it again. Psalmist writes, "Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise God for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud crashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord." So an incredibly high-tempoed psalm, filled with gusto, enthusiasm, wonderful imagery. And as Adam mentioned before he read the psalm, it's the last psalm in the Psalter, right? And we may also know about the Psalter that there is a psalm for every major theme of human existence. There are psalms for the high points of life. There are psalms for the low points, the times of lament and sorrow. There are psalms for all the times in between. There's a psalm for every season. There's a psalm for every occasion. But there's one theme that runs more than any other throughout the entire Psalter, and it's the main theme of Psalm 150. What's the main theme of Psalm 150, please?
Praise.
Praise. Thank you. And those who composed and arranged the psalms, I think, were very deliberate how they ended the Psalter, ending on a note of praise. I think this is the psalm's way of saying, here is the last word, the word that you need to remember more than anything else. At the end of the day, the psalms say, we exist to praise God, and don't you forget it. I think that's what Psalm 150 is trying to say to us. Now, lest we misunderstand, though, when we talk about, praising others, right, being kind to people, which is important, we talked about with the kids today. When we talk about praising others, we think of it as like, what, giving compliments, saying nice things, and the other person is like, oh, I feel better about myself now. When we talk about God being praised, we might be tempted to wonder, why do we need to praise God? Does God need to be told how great he is all the time? Does God forget and need to be reminded? Is that the kind of God that we serve? Why do we need to praise God so much? But when it comes to the praise of God, it's different. When it comes to God, praising does not equal flattery. Right? God is not some massively insecure cosmic being who needs to be complimented all the time. This is not why we praise God. Instead, we praise God because God is inherently worthy of praise. God is inherently worthy of praise. It is not possible to truly have an encounter with God and not give praise. Consider the following passage from the book of Revelation, which gives us a breathtaking vision of God's glory, Revelation chapter 4. And around the throne there were four living creatures, each of them with six wings, all full of eyes around and within. Day and night they never ever cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And whenever the living creatures gave glory and honor, praise, and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders around the throne fall down before him and worship him, and they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." It's Revelation chapter 4. These words are not said to God to remind God of these things. They are an acknowledgement of who God truly is. It's a beautiful vision we have in this passage of the eternal praise of God. We read books like Revelation, and we get so consumed with thinking about what's the timetable for the last judgment and the end of the world. But the real theme of books like Revelation, the real theme of books like Psalms, is the theme of what? Thank you. The praise of God. In this passage we read from Revelation, the creatures and the elders are in the full presence of God. And if you're in the full presence of God, there's only one response. What is it? Thank you. So in this life we lead here, we don't really ever see the full glory of God. Like Moses on the mountaintop, we see at best a fleeting glimpse of God's glory. But even a fleeting glimpse of God's glory is overwhelming. And we see it in our lives, in our relationships, in our creation. There's that one bit as you're driving from Aberdeen back here to Kemnay in the A96, and you get out of the city limits of Aberdeen, and you go around a bend, and there's, you know what I'm talking about? There's that one lovely, large vista of the countryside, and for some reason, probably for good reason, there's no parking available right there to stop and gawk at it. But you know the piece I'm talking about? Yes. That lovely, large vista. I love it when we collect new Whitworth interns for summer placements and whatnot, and year-long placements, the first thing they see of Aberdeenshire is this lovely, lovely vista. And every time, without fail, they, and I say this as well, we say, wow. Wow. That's an act of praise. The beauty of creation, right? And I think in those kinds of things, we see a glimpse of God's own glory in things like creation. And we see these things of beauty, these things that take our breath away. And it's almost instinctive. We all go, wow. Whatever form it comes, right? And if the veil of this world were ripped away, if we found ourselves in the fullness of God's presence, then we would be compelled to join with those creatures and elders portrayed in Revelation in their never-ending praise of God. We'd be going, wow, all the time, without end. The praise of God is the goal of our lives. The praise of God is the goal of all of creation. And when we praise God, we bring glory to his name. When we praise God, that is when we become who we are meant to be, people of praise. There have been seasons of my life when I have struggled to know how to pray. There have been times when the well has been very dry for me. There are times when I've struggled to see or to know God at work in my own life. One such time was during my first year of seminary in New Jersey. Before I arrived in Princeton, I thought that my time there was going to be one long, blessed time of spiritual formation. I was wrong, with a capital W. Seminary was closer to spiritual boot camp. Torn down in order to be built back up. It's probably good that David isn't here to hear this morning as well. About halfway through my very first year of study, I was so dry, so low, so down, so depressed, I was this close to withdrawing from my course of study and returning back to Washington State. And shortly before I left for the Christmas holiday, feeling dried and depleted, I had a conversation with a dear friend. I told him all about my struggle. And he, like a good pastor in training, he quietly listened to every word I had to say. He thought for a moment. And then he said something to me that I don't think I will ever, ever forget. He said, "Josh, always remember that the praise of God never goes amiss." always remember that the praise of God never goes amiss. He left me with that thought. And over the next several days, I took some time to think about what he had said, and I decided that my friend was very right. That when we feel dry, when we feel empty, when we feel confused, when we feel lost, perhaps in our spiritual lives, when we don't have many words, simply taking the time to praise God, just praising God for God's own sake, that can fill us with living water of Christ's presence in our lives. The praise of God can slake even the deepest thirst. So my friends, my fellow saints, remember last week? If we are made to praise God, if that's our goal, if that's what life is all about, then taking the time to praise God in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions, if that's our goal, is it ever a waste of time to do so? Yes or no? No. It's never a waste of time. If we're made to praise God, then taking the time to praise him in our thoughts, in our words, in our actions is never a waste of time. Praising God is not just about words. Words are lovely. Words are great. Words can help us praise God. But praising God requires our whole selves. We're called to live, to work, to play, to eat, to sleep, and most of all, to love in ways which praise God. We go back to this Psalm 150 again, and the psalmist lists so many different instruments, right? Not just one or two, but almost the whole orchestra, if you will. And you think about the different parts of the orchestra like the different parts of our lives. We can put our own words in. Praise God in our lives. Praise God in our work. Praise God in our rest. Praise God in our play. Praise God in our families. Praise God in our schools. Praise God in our church. Let everything that we do praise God. Praise God. That's the idea that the psalmist is getting at, that the praise of God should touch on every aspect of our lives. Now, we are not perfect. We all have some brokenness in our lives. We all make our fair share of mistakes. But nevertheless, we're always invited. God's always inviting us to turn back to him, to the power of praise in our lives. Because it's when we praise God that we remember who God is. And when we praise God, we know who we really are in him. Praising God reminds us that God is God and we are his. When we take time to praise God, that is when we are who we're meant to be. When we live a life of praise, that is when we fulfill Jesus' own words and become lights in the world. Lights which shine forth into the lives of others, causing them to marvel and to give thanks to God. So remember, the praise of God, when it comes to our prayer life, the praise of God never goes amiss. It's always a good time to praise God. So as summer gradually gives way to autumn, may we continue our lives with God, our lives with each other, through the practice of prayer. And may the praise of God in our prayers, in our lives, never ever be far away. Amen. Praise of God never goes amiss. Let us sing our next hymn now, O for a thousand tongues to sing.
Jesus. pray together with our prayers for the world. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessing on the world today. There is so much around us that is good and beautiful, and it is easy then to see your hand and your care therein. There is also so very much that has gone wrong, and is much harder to see where you are in these situations. We do know you are there, in the hands and the feet, the words and the prayers of those you send to bring help, mediation, relief, and care into areas of need and distress. We ask your blessing on those people and the people they care for. We pray for all who are suffering from the effects of man-made disasters, of war and oppression, and of natural disasters of flood and fire. We pray your strong hands will uphold and your love surround them. We pray for those who are in hospital, for their healing and peace. And we give thanks for the medical staff who treat and care for them. We seek your peace for families who wait anxiously for results, for answers to worries, and for treatment to be successful. We give you thanks for the people we know who have been successfully treated and are on their way to wellness and mind and body. We pray for those who have been bereaved. Remember especially today Mr. Les Brown, a longtime member of our congregation who died recently. We pray his wife Elaine, family Rachel, Murray and Stuart, and their families will know your peace. In a moment of silence now, Lord, we bring to you others we know who need your special care at this time. Lord, we ask your blessing on them all. We pray, Lord, for our world leaders who have influence, that they might use it for the good of humanity and for the long-term future of this earth, the earth that you have created. We pray that each one of us here might strive to do what we can for this same goal. We bring our prayers, as always, in the strong and sure name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Rita. Now sing our closing hymn of praise to God, Rejoice, the Lord is King.
Thank you.
our lives, in our work, in our play, in our rest, in our relationships, the praise of God never goes amiss. Go forth from this place, and may each of our lives be filled with the praise of God. And may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may it rest forever upon all who we love, this day and forevermore.